The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Can you imagine a world where everyone knows they can make a difference? What if controversy is your ticket to success and new possibilities, to being a leader in creating a different reality? Do you have the courage to create something greater than has ever existed before? This is The Value of Controversy, presented by facilitators of Access Consciousness. Join us now for the tools, techniques, and awareness you need to create a world that you would be grateful to live in. Now, here are your hosts.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Value of Controversy. Today we have a new and exciting show ahead of us. And, you know, today we're going to talk about creation, and we have talked a lot about it, and we're so excited about the show. And today I also have with me my awesome colleagues, Marilyn Bradford and Tamara Junker. Hi, guys.
Hi. Happy to be here.
Hi, Jonas.
Hi. And by the way, people, if you want to call in and ask us questions, please feel free to do. You can call us in the number is +1 888-346-9141. So if you're not in US, it's +1, and otherwise it's 888-346-9141. So cool, guys. So today the description for today is so you think you're not better? How did your life get to be the way it is? And for us, this is, I know for all of us, because we have spoken a lot about it, this is really something that when we started to acknowledge what great creators we are and how much we are creating, our lives get so much easier, right?
Well, yeah, and I think the thing that makes it such a helpful topic to me is just sort of remembering back as a therapist in therapy myself years and years and years and years ago, how much this reality tells us that we're victims. I mean, the language of this reality, well, this happened to me. Or yeah. You were a victim of your childhood, you know, of abuse, or you were, and at one point I sort of made one transition, which is I really got that, this was how I looked at it back then, that people could be victimized, but then you had to not stay in that victim mentality. You really had to go ahead and create and generate your life. But what I got from Access was even more than that, that I actually, it wasn't so much that I created the event necessarily, but it's whenever I allow myself to be unconscious, then it seems like stuff is happening to me because I'm unwilling to be aware. You know, it kind of all goes back to awareness. So this has been, I think it's a huge paradigm shift. It certainly was for me, and it's, you know, worth looking at all the places where we decide that things happen to us or we've been the victim.
What was interesting for me in coming to Access is that I had been sort of introduced to this idea that, you know, we are the creators of our own life, you know, a decade before I even came to Access. But it was just a concept of that at that point. You know, it was like, sure, there are no victims and we create our own reality, and yet I didn't realize exactly what would it take to be the one in the driver's seat of my life. I still, as you were saying, had that language about things happening to me and very much feeling like I didn't have a choice. That was probably the experience of most of my life before coming to Access, was feeling like I didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
And so I realized that I was living at the effect of everything. I was living at the effect of, or at the mercy of, you know, other people. Almost everyone that came into my life, I was pretty much at the mercy of them, at the mercy of events, circumstances, situations, even, and maybe more importantly, my own thoughts, feelings,
yes,
emotions.
Right.
Like, I was literally the victim of my own thoughts in the sense. And when it, I mean, I remember having this huge aha moment early on in Access and going, oh my God, I've been living this way my whole life, which is exactly why I feel like I don't have a choice. And that's when I made the demand for me in my life to create something different. And it required me to start looking at where in my life was I functioning unconsciously. In other words, where in my life had I bought into someone else's reality or just this general, this reality in general? And where was I trying to live up to the expectations of this reality? And where was I constantly in judgment and criticism of me with reference to or relevant in reference to this reality? And it's completely changed everything for me to acknowledge that I'm the creator of all of it. And if I'm not aware of how I'm creating it, then I can do a little research and do a little exploration to discover where I'm sticking myself as if I don't have a choice and start creating through my choice.
I know. And you know, it's so cool when you're saying that, because when you started, I saw myself like 6 years ago, how I was sitting in the passenger seat instead of the driving seat. And it's really like, as soon as you try to figure out how everything else around you is affecting you, instead of being the leader of your life and create what you know, you are the one sitting in the passenger seat. And the car is driving with you. And if you're lucky, you sometimes you will show up at places where you want to be and in situations you like, but a lot of the times you will just be this passive passenger that will just like, oh, today was not my lucky day again.
Right, right. Well, and I think for a lot of people, it's even the concept that they have choice is a great place to start.
Yeah.
I got a call from a woman who, because I do a lot of work, you know, with addiction, and she had heard me on a telesummit, and she was calling to invite me on a radio show, and it turns out there's this whole group of people, blogs, websites, about people who are trying to, what they call, deprogram from the 12 steps. Mm. And there was something odd about the energy of it, and I was talking to Gary Douglas, the founder of Access, about it. And he's like, yeah, Marilyn, you've got to help them. Because I said I'd do a free telecall. You've got to help them see that they have choice. And then it dawned on me, they really didn't believe that they had within themselves the choice to change this deprogram, you know, to change away from buying what they learned in 12-step or AA. And it was like, yeah, that's what we're told. We're told we can be brainwashed. We're told we have to have someone else outside of us fix it for us or change it for us. And yeah, it's helpful to get information, but that was such a great example for me of a group of people who really truly desired to change, but didn't actually know that they had choice or that there were tools that they could use to help them to, as you guys were talking about, get back in the driver's seat of their life. They were still reacting from this outside thing that they felt had happened or was done to them.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And that's really actually something that's quite controversial as I go out and I share the tools of Access in different circles in my life with different people. It is almost confronting to people when you start introducing this idea that they have a choice, because they will fight you and they will say, well, no, I don't. And they will share with you all the evidence to prove their conclusion that they don't have a choice. And so it's really quite controversial to sort of say, actually, you do have a choice. You've always had a choice. And maybe what you've been creating was in an unconscious way, but it's still a choice, because people don't really want to own that.
Well, I think it's frustrating to people because they don't get, I certainly wouldn't have said I'm being unconscious. I would have said I'm just being a victim. I mean, the whole awareness part of it, okay, if I were, you know, and it's great to ask a question like, okay, if I'm really willing to be aware here, what else is possible? Because I think the idea of choice, and we've touched on this a little bit in shows, but it's the idea that you have to choose from somebody else's menu.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Rather than asking a question like, what would be possible here that I've never even imagined? You know, and that sort of asking the questions is taking back the driver's seat, I think. But you're right. I mean, many people do fight against the idea that they have choice. Because they're so, well, because, but, and, you know, we're so stuck in this reality with judging ourselves as wrong that if you actually go from it happened to me to I have choice, then a lot of people feel like they have to judge themselves super hard again.
That's the thing, because I do so many workshops and meet so many people and facilitate so many classes. And one of the things is that people would rather not know that they are the creator and that they have choice, because then they don't have this awesome excuse when something sort of bad happens. And they would rather have that excuse when something happens or shows up that they don't like. So, no, I'm not the creator of that. That was just unlucky, or that was the circumstances, or that happened to me. But really, like, I'm always trying to get people to like get the concept, because as soon as you do, you have the power to change everything.
Yeah.
One of the things that was really kind of interesting for me when I first got into Access, and the facilitator that I was working with kept telling me, you know, I would come to her with questions about things that I was struggling with in my life, and she kept saying, "It's just a choice. It's just a choice. It's just a choice. It's just a choice." And it frustrated me to no end, because I remember thinking to myself, "Well, how do I choose what I don't know I'm not choosing?" I knew I was asking for more. I knew that the way I was functioning in the world, and I knew that what I was creating wasn't working for me, and I wanted to create something different. And that's where I kind of got stuck. And Marilyn, what you just said about the questions, the mm-hmm. questions were literally what began to set me free, because I couldn't figure it out with my mind. I had tried. It's like if I could have figured it out with my mind, I would have done that a long time ago. I had tried every avenue possible to figure it out with my mind, and
right.
There's like a possibility perimeter that I kept bumping up against, because my mind is only aware of what it already knows. It's not aware of what else is possible. So the question, just simply asking what else is possible beyond anything my mind has ever conceived, defined, or imagined, is really what started to break me free from being trapped and confined inside the limitations of my mind.
Yeah, you know, I had never really looked at that, Tamara, but that's brilliant. The mind can really only deal with what this reality says, that this reality is all created by the mind, isn't it? Is that
accurate?
Yes,
it is. Mm-hmm.
Wow, yeah. So you have to get beyond it if you're actually going to be able to be the conscious creator source of your life.
Yeah, so those question, choice, possibility, and contribution, those four elements of creation that I was introduced to via Access, really was the thing that began to unlock me from that life of no choice, that life of feeling like a victim, that life of feeling like I didn't have a choice. Because as soon as I started engaging with this tool of questions, this potency of being able to ask questions, then new things I became aware of new things, like new possibilities started showing up. Because what I was doing before was simply, you know, I was living in conclusion about just about everything. The conclusions were what led me to believe that I was at the effect of something else. The conclusions led me to believe I was the victim. The conclusions led me to believe that I didn't have another choice.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started asking questions, it actually popped me out of where I was in conclusion, because when I'm in conclusion, all I'm doing is I'm gathering evidence to prove the truth of that conclusion. But when I started right? So when I started asking questions, then new things started to reveal themselves to me. It was like the magic wand that revealed all the possibility to me that was always there already, except I couldn't see it because I was trapped inside the conclusion.
And yes, absolutely. And I think being invested in the outcome is another way that people really trap themselves and don't see that they have choice, where they feel like the victim. And it reminds me of, why is one of the words that we ask people not to use in Access because it leads people in circles. But even before I got to Access, I would talk with my clients about that, and I would say, suppose you'd plan this great big picnic, and you'd reserve the tables, and you had all the charcoal and all this and blah, 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 and you wake up in the morning and it's pouring rain. And you go, well, why is it raining? Why is it raining? I don't understand. And it's that investment in that particular outcome and the why is it raining, or why did this happen to me, instead of saying, okay, it's raining. What else is possible? What else could we do today? Where else could we go? Where else could we be? That opens things up for people.
See, and Marilyn, that's such a good point, because people get stuck in this fact, like, I didn't create this. I didn't create the rain. I didn't create this traffic accident. That's not what I created. But you know what? Your example is so brilliant on what it actually means to create your life. Like, if it's raining, you're asking what else is possible. If the sun is shining, you're asking what else is possible. That's the difference.
Yeah.
It makes all the difference.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's so, like, instead of always being the victim, you're actually meeting life. Like, so it's a rainy day. Okay, it's a rainy day. So you meet life where it's happening. And instead of going, oh, my God, it all is lost, it's ruined, and make yourself miserable by being completely at the effect of that situation, that circumstance that it's raining, you meet it, and you just go, okay, well, what else is possible? What else could I create here?
Yeah, and what else could be even better than the picnic we imagined?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's you're right. You don't create the rain, but you do create your willingness to either feel the victim of it or ask more questions. And create
most of all, what you are creating in the sense of all this is what your life is, like in how fun your life is and how happy you are and all of that. That's what you're creating in every moment. And it doesn't matter if the rain is pouring down or the sun is shining. It's really like, do you want to create fun in your life? So thanks for this awesome conversation, guys. We're just going to go for a short break, and we'll be back soon.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Want to know what the best-kept secret in Access Consciousness is? It's the Access Gold Club. Demanding more change and the latest and greatest, but can't always get to all the classes you desire? Let Gary and Dane come to you. Join the Gold Club, and each month you'll receive a 60-minute live call, a weekly email on the month's theme containing the latest clearings in written form, and an MP3 loop. Twice a month, receive a brand new video with Gary and Dane. How does it get any better than this? In addition to receiving a CD format of the monthly call mailed to you, you'll also enjoy a surprise bonus gift. Be in on the secret. Join today at www.isnowthetime.com/special-tips.
Hi, this is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. I'd like to talk to you a moment about hedonism, the pursuit of pleasure, one of the most judgeable offenses on planet Earth. Ever notice? How often do you allow yourself to choose something for the pure pleasure and joy of it, without judgment? How often do you choose to live your life from the adventure of what could show up, rather than the conclusion of what you or someone else decided it should be? What if every day you could wake up and ask, if I were truly living today, what would I choose right away? Join me for a 6-part teleclass series called 69 Shades of Hedonism. We'll unwrap the beauty and adventure of hedonistic living together. Are you ready to play? Oh, and a warning, if you'd rather feel dry and brittle rather than abundant and juicy and joyful, you should definitely refrain from signing up for this particular series. Participants may experience an increased level of pleasure in all areas of life. Are you willing to risk that? If so, go to drdanehere.com/teleclasses. drdanehere.com/teleclasses and find out more. See you there.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to The Value of Controversy. We invite you to participate in our program today. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to radio@thevalueofcontroversy.com. Now, back to The Value of Controversy.
Hi, welcome again, guys. And we're back.
We're back.
So we were talking in the break about creation and, oh, Jesus Christ, there's so many things in this area. And, you know, we're also grateful for what we have finally started to step into the last couple of years that is totally changing our lives every single minute. And it's really like, so what would it be like if you would actually acknowledge how great creator you are, and how much fun would show up in your life if you were really willing to look at the fact that you are the creator and use that as something that empowers you instead of looking at like, oh, does that mean that I created this and this and this? And, you know, I have a great colleague, and one of the things that she realized a couple of years ago was how much crap she was creating in her life. And then one day there was one person that was actually asking her a question about it. And, you know, so if you're creating all this crap, like, does that mean you're a great creator? And she was just, she couldn't stop laughing. Like, that was so hilarious. So, I mean, what if instead of making anything wrong and judging us for doing anything wrong, we would just look at like, oh, have I created all of this? Oh, I'm apparently a good creator. What would I like to do with this? What could I create if I actually used my energy on something else?
Well, and that's a great point, Jonas. And taking that and then what Tamara was saying earlier about conclusions, it's like, you know, as a therapist, I have people who say, well, you know, all men are abusive or all women are. There's no one to date because all of the good women are taken or whatever it is. And I'm like, okay, where did that come from? And it's, well, I dated 6 men and they were all abusive to me. And I think what people don't get is part of this whole creation is your point of view creates your reality. So I said, well, exactly. If you expect that all men are abusive, that's the only thing you're going to be able to pull into your life. If you look at, in other words, you make it once again outside of yourself, that they're all out there, they're all abusive, rather than going, wow, I just created 6 abusive relationships. That's really interesting. I wonder what I would have to be or do different to create a different type of relationship.
Yeah. And you know, it's really like instead of getting stuck in anything in this area and what happened and the circumstances and all of that, like the key is to go to a question.
Yeah.
And Tamara was talking about question, choice, possibility, and contribution. And that is the choices and the possibilities and the questions we have and how we can have that to be a contribution to us. But if we're not willing to go to a question instead of being in the conclusion, like you said, Marilyn, we don't stand a chance, and we will be victims of, and we will be a person that is sitting in the passenger seat where things are happening to us.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was referring to earlier when I said being the victim of your own thoughts, literally living at the effect of your own thoughts. And I am grateful that Gary gave me a beautiful wedgie many years ago. He looked at me one day and he said, "So when are you going to stop making yourself so miserable? When are you going to stop making yourself so pathetic?" You know, he asked me a couple of questions, and when he asked me that, there was almost this visceral response to fight back and say, "I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not the one making myself miserable." And yet when he said that to me, it landed with such lightness that I knew there was something to that that I needed to explore. And so instead of just automatically refusing to receive what he was telling me, I sat with it and I explored it and I asked a lot of questions, and I came to the awareness that changed my entire life was that my thoughts are not my reality. So it's like that don't believe everything you think kind of
or
thing.
Or feel.
Yeah, or feel. It's the same thing. So when I really started to question everything and just notice the thoughts I was thinking rather than go into reaction to them, because what I was doing is I was living my entire life in reaction. It's like I had bought in completely hook, line, and sinker to this entire reality, all of the shoulds and have-tos and must-tos and supposed-tos and appropriatenesses and all of that stuff. And I was constantly in reaction to all of that because my thoughts were focused on trying to get it right and avoid being wrong, avoid the things I didn't want to have happen. And so it was this constant life of chasing after the things I felt I didn't have, or the scarcity that I was creating with my thoughts, or being compelled to chase after that, or being obsessed with that, or avoiding. I was living this whole life of like chasing and being compelled to chase and avoiding, and it was all because of the thoughts. It was all because of all the thoughts in my head that I was just making so very real and true, and then I lived at the effect of all of them trying to fix everything. It was like my life was one giant problem, and so I was constantly in reaction to all the problems that I thought I had to fix in order to finally get my life right. It was making everything on the outside of my life, everything in the exterior world, like, was more important than me. It was greater than me, and I had to sort of fight against it and change it rather than recognizing that all the power to change my life and create something that worked for me was always with me. It was always, when I brought it back to, what do I know? What's true for me? And I love that the tagline of Access is empowering you to know that you know. Because as soon as I shifted my energy from trying to change everything in my external world to recognizing that my point of view creates, and my choice creates, and tapping into what I know instead of looking for an authority figure out in the world, everything started to change. My whole life changed like 180 degrees, and the joy that's present now, because I'm aware that I'm creating everything, that I'm the source creator for everything in my life, is entirely different. There's no more of that misery. There's no more of that, you know, pretending to be pathetic in the face of, the forces against me in this reality. I simply know that's just not true.
Cool.
And whenever we get stuck in all of those stuck points and points of views, and you know, when it's our thoughts, feelings, and emotions that are creating our points of views, we don't give ourselves a lot of possibilities, actually, because our thoughts, feelings, and emotions is 99% of the time, it's just everybody else's thoughts or everybody else's feelings, or how we're trying to figure out how we can fit into everybody else's universe. And that's, again, when we're going towards the passenger seat again.
Yeah, we're making them a driving force. I mean, one thing I like to remind people is, what if your thoughts, feelings, and emotions were just random and they had no meaning and no significance?
That's the key. What if we didn't make them so meaningful, so significant?
Yeah. I just think of them, you know, when I did meditation years and years ago, they would say, when a thought comes up, just sort of see it like a cloud, and it's like, what if they're just clouds passing through, and they really have no bearing on your life or what you know.
Oh, I have a process for this.
Great.
Cool.
let's have a process for this so we can get out of when we're stuck in our thoughts, feelings, and emotions. Hey, so the process is, what facilitation of total creation are you using to get stuck in the significance of your thoughts, feelings, and emotions you are choosing?
And everything that is, will you destroy and uncreate it times a godzillion?
Yes.
Oh. Right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds. Cool.
Good one.
There's a charge on that.
You want to run it again?
Oh, let's do that. What manifestation of total creation are you using to get stuck in the significance of your thoughts, feelings, and emotions you are choosing?
And everything
and
that
everything
is?
Everything that is. Yeah, thanks.
Just try to create it times a godzillion?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Wrong, good, oh. Bad, hot, all nine shorts, boys, and beyond. Yeah, because that's what we do. We make it. And I think, that's the substitute. That's the substitute for knowing that your thoughts, feelings, and emotions are what really tell you what's going on. They don't tell you doodly squat. It's what you know to be true. And so, also, you know, we talked earlier about how it's difficult for people to realize that they do have choice. It's difficult for people to move into that spot of knowing what they know and allowing themselves to know it, because that's actually knowing what you know and the willingness to know that and be that is what makes it so much easier to choose. It almost then creates the choice. I've had a lot of people tell me, like in my therapy practice, well, I can't know that. I'm always wrong. And when we look back at it, often it is that as kids, they knew stuff, but when they voiced it, they were told that they were wrong. You know, you can't know that, or Uncle Jim is not slimy, you know, turns out he's a child molester, whatever it is. You know, because kids know when their parents are unhappy and fighting and all those kinds of things. So people learn not to trust that knowing, and of course it's been schooled out of them. So one of the best things, you know, I think that people, that I always recommend to people, is get back in touch with that knowing. You know, and that's where that the heavy and light tool is so useful, particularly in the beginning, until it's...
I think it's amazing, too, because I work with, when I'm working with my clients, I introduce very early, I start working with them right in the beginning to just simply ask them, what do you know about that? Or what do you know about that person? Or what do you know about this situation or whatever? Because we know so much more than we ever acknowledge. Like you said, we were not taught that we knew stuff. We had to learn things from other people, from books, from our parents. Like, we were taught that the learning was the valuable thing, not what we know. What we know was dismissed.
Right.
So I start working with people immediately to invite back in, what do you know about that? And to begin to trust that, because you really can't choose in a way that is outside of or beyond the menu of this reality, if you will, until you really start tapping into what you know and trust that. Trust what's true for you and trust what you know. Otherwise, we're just doing the dance of being either in alignment and in agreement to this reality, or we've shifted into resistance and reaction to this reality. And neither one of those is really choice. That's where I lived my life was, you know, at first growing up in my family of origin and just aligning and agreeing with everything that I was offered as information, because you don't know any different. You just go, okay. And then as I got older and I looked around in the world and went, hey, wait a minute, there's a different point of view than the point of view my parents fed me. And rebellious one that I was, I went to the opposite extreme and went immediately into massive resistance and reaction. And I stuck myself in that space of resistance and reaction, thinking that that was actually choice. Come to find out, that actually was not choice at all. And that kept me very, very, very stuck, because as long as I was believing that all that resistance and reaction was choice, it never really gave me the space to choose beyond the menu of this reality. I just kept fighting against it. I just kept fighting against it and fighting against it and fighting against it. And there was no real choice in that. It's part of how I stuck myself living in that no-choice universe. So when you're in alignment and agreement, or when you're in resistance and reaction, it was really valuable to me to look at and just say, oh, that's an interesting point of view. I don't need, because if I'm in resistance and reaction, it's simply because I bought the truth of where I aligned and agreed first. And if that can, if I can have the realization that that's just an interesting point of view, that's no more real or true, that's not necessarily real or true, then I don't need to be in resistance and reaction to it. I can actually allow both of those points of view, where I aligned and agreed and where I resisted and reacted, to be, I can be an allowance of all of those points of view and not have to fight against either one of them. And then, and only then, do I truly have choice, because I'm not defending against anymore either one of them.
You know, that's perfect. And I would just like to tie it back to the example I used earlier. Hopefully that will be another way to help people get it. With the people who initially were in aligning and agreeing with 12-step as if it was the thing that was the best thing in their life, and now they're stuck in resistance and reaction to it without seeing that they actually do have a choice to move on.
Yes.
Because of access, for me, 12-step is just an interesting point of view. Okay.
Exactly.
Oh. But I'm not stuck in it or with it or to it.
Exactly.
And that's really the point too. Like, because when we're making any sort of decisions, like what's right or what's wrong, or we're aligning and agreeing, or we're resisting and reacting, we are not giving us choice. We're
mm-hmm.
just eliminating everything, and we're not in the questions. We're not in creation either. So, in some way or another, we could say that we actually get to be the victim of circumstances. But that is not totally entirely true either, because we are the ones that are creating that too. But we're not giving us much chance to create what we actually desire, right?
Right, right.
Well,
I remember
the thing that I find fascinating is if you're in resistance and reaction or alignment and agreement, you've actually subverted all of your desires, because as long as you're in a should, as long as there's anywhere in your world where you're like, well, I should be doing this, or now I'm in resistance to react in reaction to it, now I'm going to prove that I don't have to do this, for example, all of that energy actually covers up all of your own desires. When you're living in reaction to this reality, in other words, you feel like you have to fight against the expectations of this reality and what it's asking of you to be that is not truly who you be, then it covers up all your own desires, and you can't even touch them. You can't even feel them to be able to start creating from them. So you kind of have to clear out, at least this is, I'll speak for myself, this is what I had to do. I had to clear out all those points of view. I had to clear out everywhere I was in alignment and agreement and resistance and reaction. And once I cleared all of that out and realized, oh, that's just an interesting point of view, that's just an interesting point of view, then I could actually tap into my own desire, and I could be like, oh, now that I have a blank slate, now I have a much greater sense of what I would like to create in the world.
Oh, that's so cool.
For me, it took a lot of practice. I remember one point Gary gave us this little thing to do every morning. If I were creating my life today, what would I choose right away? And I would sit out on my patio and write stuff down, because I really didn't know how to choose. So, you know, people, if you find yourself sort of like, I don't know what to choose, I don't even know what I want my life to be like, I must be a failure at this too. You're not. It's just a muscle you have to develop. Because as you said, Tamara, if you've been living your whole life, which is the way we're taught to live our lives, to align and agree or resist and react to everything in this reality, it's like that muscle of actually choosing what you would like has not been developed.
Exactly.
A little while.
No one has never told us anything of this. It's just very, very different. And, you know, I don't have any friends that has been brought up with like, hey, you're the creator, what would you like to create as your life?
Yeah.
So we're going to have a short break, and we'll soon be back. And we have more processes for you, and we have more tools and techniques to actually get more of what you desire. So see you soon.
Your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness The Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a Bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
When you're pondering the big questions like, is there more than this? How can I have a happy relationship? What would it take to like my body? And how do I make more money? Where do you go for information and tools? Check out the online store at accessconsciousness.com. Accessconsciousness.com has books, DVDs, instant video and audio downloads, online classes, and so much more. Subjects include abuse, changing your body, recovery, raising children, business techniques, tools to generate more money, how to have better sex and healthier relationships, just to name a few. At accessconsciousness.com, you can also find facilitators who teach local classes on a variety of subjects. Accessconsciousness.com, your one-stop shop for tools to assist you in changing your life. All of life comes to us with ease, joy, and glory. Go to accessconsciousness.com to learn more.
This is the home of the top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success drivers. The Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You are listening to The Value of Controversy. We invite you to participate in our program today. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to radio@thevalueofcontroversy.com. Now, back to The Value of Controversy.
Welcome. We're here again after the break. And we'll just keep on having our awesome conversation. And let's go in and look a little bit, like, really how you can really start to transform and change your universe dynamically, and how you can create something totally different where nothing ever has to happen to you again. You know, what if nothing ever has to happen to you again? Like, what if you didn't have to be lucky, or what if you didn't have to be unlucky? What if you would just acknowledge and embrace the fact that you're a phenomenal creator and start working from that and look at what you actually want to create, and then just receive all the tools and techniques and capacity and use all your capacities to create that, instead of like hoping that you will fall into the future that you have always dreamt of.
Well, Tamara, you were talking about point of view. I think that's really a good place to start.
Oh, it is. It's a really good point to start, actually, because if we have the point of view, that is creating that, we need to start getting out of that point of view. So I'm happy we have Tamara with us.
Well, I was thinking about, you know, myself. I've said before, I feel like the mad scientist who's taken all the access tools into the laboratory of my life, used them all in my life, and then kind of, you know, see what I was able to create. And that's really what shifted me, was if your point of view does create your reality. I mean, I've seen that demonstrated in my life more times than I can count. My point of view absolutely creates my reality. And when I'm stuck in a point of view, and that point of view can look like a conclusion, that point of view can look like a judgment, that point of view can look like a decision. When I'm stuck in a point of view and I'm defending against any other possibility from being available to me, my life does not change.
Right.
And so to me, just beginning to recognize that not everything is as true and real as we've made it. Those points of view are literally like our reference points that we hold on to with almost a death grip, while at the same time begging for change. And if you really want change to occur, you've got to let go of all those reference points of where you've made everything so real and true based on the points of view you've locked into. What if, as an infinite being, you have the capacity to have view rather than point of view? In other words, you can see all points of view and recognize that all points of view are, you know, I don't know, valid, if you will, or possible, if you will, rather than one single point of view that you've perhaps adopted or inherited from this reality. And you're trying to continually make that point of view real and true when it's just one of an infinite number of points of view. So if the point of view you're taking is fixed and it's not working for you, what other point of view is available to you that could shift you? Or what if you didn't even have to hold on to any point of view and you could just choose from infinite possibility instead?
We've talked about this before, but it's so crucial. People create a point of view and then take it as the truth. Like, well, I can't go back to school because I'm stupid.
Yeah.
What? Whose point of view is that? Well, no, it's the truth. I'm stupid. I failed out of third grade. You know, and then you find out there were all these other circumstances and, you know, her parents were getting a divorce or whatever it was. The teacher hated her, who knows? And when you unravel that, you know, people make these judgments, and judgments are always arbitrary, and judgments are what actually create points of view. But it's so crucial to get that there is, all points of view are arbitrary, truly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And anything that has a charge to it is a point of view and a judgment, and it's arbitrary, you know. So you can say, well, I measure 5'2" or whatever. That's not a point of view. That's actually, you know, on a measuring stick. If you're buying that, that's a valid measuring stick. You could do that. But if you go, oh, I'm just a slug, or I'm this, or I'm that, that's a judgment.
Yeah.
You know.
And the thing that I work with people on is shifting from the immutable laws of this reality, meaning that not everything is fixed, real, true, solid, unchangeable, and fact,
yeah,
to an immutable laws of creation where everything is fluid, everything is changeable, everything is possible, and it's simply a matter of playing with those four elements of creation: question, choice, possibility, and contribution. When you play with those tools that truly in my life have become potencies for living, then everything is creative, and I've shifted entirely out of that reaction. When you're in reaction all the time, you're really not creating. You're just managing the effect position the best that you know how, the best that perhaps your parents taught you, or the best that you've learned, you know, in school or from a book or, you know, some self-help book or something. When you're in reaction, you're just managing. You're just managing that effect position. You're not really creating. And that's what shifted for me, was recognizing that it's just a choice, right? I would rather choose off the menu of this reality, out-create this reality entirely, and now I'm having so much more fun with having all my true desires as my targets for living rather than fighting against the expectations that this reality placed on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, like the point of view you have or where you're creating from, it creates such a difference. And if you're willing to be in an interesting point of view, you basically have choice to create from wherever you want all the time and create whatever you like all the time.
Yep.
Just look at the differences. If you look at from the point of view that you're either you're lucky or unlucky, that's the universe where you become the effect and you become the circumstance, you become the victim or the success based on different variables. Or you look at the universe from the point of view that you are a truly phenomenal creator. And I actually have a great example in my own life because I just recently flew to New Zealand and I came there and in the taxi from I forgot my iPhone in the taxi from the airport. And then when I left the taxi, I gave her a really, really big tip. And the thing was that it actually was feeling really strange to give her that big tip because she wasn't really like super interested in receiving that and blah, blah, blah. But I did that anyway, and I had no clue why, and it didn't make sense at all. And then half an hour later, it's calling to my hotel room. It's 1:30 in the night, and they, hey, I have a taxi driver down here, and she wants to talk to you. And I was like, what? What does she want to talk to me? So I went down and like, hey, did you forget your phone in my car? Oh, I did.
Wow.
And then the guy in the reception, he's just saying to me, hey, you are a lucky guy, you are. And I was just like, yeah, I am a lucky guy. How does it get any better? But you know what? I don't see that as luck. I just actually see that as my creation.
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
Absolutely.
Because you knew to do something, back to what we were talking about earlier, that didn't fit your logical mind, but you knew to
yeah.
do it.
Yeah. Oh, let's do that, getting stuck in what manifestation of total creation are you using to get stuck in the significance of your thoughts, feelings, and emotions you are choosing?
And let's add your brain. Everything
oh,
that is creates the times a godzillion.
Yeah,
right. Runs to the bad for the book, all night shorts, boys and meals. No, that's so true, Marilyn, because we get stuck in our thoughts, feelings, and emotions in our brain. And then we become basically powerless.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you're talking about, when I hear your what you shared, Jonas, I think of that's the magic that we truly be, like that creative capacity is the magic that we truly be. When we function from our minds and we're always functioning from a sense of it's got to be rational, reasonable, logical, it's got to make sense, and in a linear fashion, like there's no magic in that. And that to me is just that managing the effect position that we're in to the best that we can when we're functioning from our minds, our thoughts. But the way what you described, acknowledging, like I say it all the time, I am that magic. So every time I create something in my life, I acknowledge the magic that I be. I acknowledge that I am that powerful, that I am that potent, that I do have the capacity to create my life. And the more that I acknowledge that, the more shows up of what I'm asking for and what I'm creating.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I had also a creation on this trip, which is I flew from Austin to LAX, and all the time, and I was in economy on the long flight on Air New Zealand, and all the time it was, I just had the sense of this wonkiness, and yet I would ask, you know, is there anything for me to do now? I said, So I finally got to check in, and I asked the lady, because previously I'd had an empty seat next to me, was there still an empty seat? No, and all of a sudden I just knew, I said, oh, what are the possibilities of me upgrading to premium economy? And she gave me a price that's between half and a third of what it normally is. And I'm like, I'll have that. Thank you. And it was just this knowing my body was like, we're not going back there. Well, on the way home, it was fine to be in economy. It was just this following, this knowing, and the timing of everything, and it made all the difference. And I sat next to this amazing man who offered to, anytime I'm in London, to stay with him and his wife. And you know, it was just following that knowing.
Yeah, and when we're not in a fixed point of view of what's possible and not, you actually have the space to go to a question like you did and create something different.
Yeah.
I love that.
The magic of question.
Magic of question.
It is truly the thing that creates something different, yeah.
And if you want to start out, you know, two questions, because sometimes people say, well, I don't even know what to ask. You can always ask, what else is possible? How does it get any better than this? No matter what's going on in your life, that's a great one. How does it get any better than this? And if you find yourself judging a situation as really bad or something, just what's right about this I'm not getting? And I think three questions are great questions to start out with if you're unsure of what to ask and you know, you just want to practice a little bit. And the only other thing I want to add is the trick is then to just let it go. Ask a question and shut up. Don't go, well, it's not, wait, didn't show up in 20 minutes. You know, right.
I asked the whole world to change, and it didn't in 20 minutes, so I don't believe in this.
So it doesn't work. There's no conclusion there.
Cool. So I'm so sorry, guys, so we really have to wrap it up now. We're getting closer to ending, and we're so grateful for all of you that have been listening today, been with us, contributing, and thank you. Tamara and Marilyn, it has been a blast. I'm so grateful for you guys.
And great. Thank you, Jonas. Great show. Really.
And if you want to get in contact with us, you can find us on Facebook. It's The Value of Controversy. And you can also follow us on Twitter. Bye, guys. Have a nice week and see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Value of Controversy. What questions did we create for you today? Write in and tell us. Please join us again next Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about us, please visit our website at thevalueofcontroversy.com. Until our next show, be controversial and have a great week. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.